Hello, and welcome to the Veterans of Sin weekly podcast. Today, we are honored to speak with Pam Winholt. Pam is a Navy veteran, former co-owner of a successful recruiting firm, and now her own company, Dare to Dream Bigger. She works with leaders to transition workplace cultures from blah to ah. As an executive recruiter, she introduced key people to growing companies and now consults on creating an environment of cooperation and successful conflict resolution, increasing employee satisfaction and reducing turnover in the workplace. We are privileged to hear about Pam's service in the Navy, her transition, her insights as an executive recruiter, and her journey that led to her ah moment. Pam, thank you so much for your time today. I have to say, go Navy, just because, and people always laugh because I am Navy, so I always have to, you know, put a plug in there for the Navy. But tell us about your service in the Navy, your transition, and the journey that has led you to start Dare to Dream Bigger.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. So I joined the Navy back in 1985 and went over to Spain in 1986, where I was stationed for 3 years. Because I was a female, there were only 7% female enlisted at the time, so I filled a general billet, operations, safety, tool room, and finally ended up in the mail room, never having the chance to work in my field of signalmen, but making the most out of it and having a great social life. The mail room had 800 people, so I knew everybody, and when they get packages from home, they often shared their cookies with me. So nice. It was actually a great job, even though I never got to work in what I wanted to. So when I got out of the Navy, I'd spent 3 years there. I was in my mid-20s, and I didn't even know how to get a good job, a desk job. The only thing I had done beforehand was work in fast food and those kind of positions. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted something that I could actually have a career in. My husband at the time felt the same way. He had skills, but he didn't know how to translate them because it was all secret stuff. And all he'd say is, I type fast. So we were both struggling to find a real job. I accepted the first one I could find at $7 an hour because we needed money, but it wasn't the kind of job I really wanted. It definitely did not have a career path. So we signed up for a company that could help us learn to do informational interviews and network our way into finding a real job. We didn't have any connections. We had just come from overseas. We were young. We didn't know what we didn't know. We did that. Life went on. We got great jobs at the time, good enough jobs. Life went on. We had a family. Fast forward 20 years. We decided we really wanted to work for ourselves, but we didn't know what to do. We found a business we could buy that was a headhunting business, and we bought it. What we learned was how to take someone's skills that are marketable and translate those into other industries and position the people we took to market to get a job. Companies would hire us to go find a particular skill set to join their particular need. We would coach those people on how to market themselves so they could actually fill that need. Because interestingly, there's something called the hidden job market. And these are the jobs that are not advertised. So companies would call us. Maybe they were getting ready to grow. Maybe they were getting ready to replace someone. Maybe someone was leaving, but they didn't want it out there. For one thing, it would show the competitors where their weak areas. And for another, they might be swamped with resumes of people that aren't qualified. So I did that for 15 years, and I really understood how the hiring process works, from great big huge bureaucracies all the way down to small companies. And I understood how people would think of hiring their candidates, because what the job description has is not necessarily who they hire. The job description shows what their ideal candidate has. That candidate might not even exist. It's an ideal. And most people don't know that. So my rule of thumb I suggest to people is if you have 60% of the qualifications and whatever the must-have is, like if you have to have a degree or experience in A, B, and C or certification, as long as you have that and have at least 60%, apply for it because you might just get it.
Awesome. Yeah. So your journey kind of started out when I went in the Navy in 79, I went in undesignated. That's how bad I wanted to go in the Navy and get out of my little small town of Indiana. and got to pick an occupation once I got there. But it took me almost a year in an undesignated, just kind of working through different jobs and different occupations within the Navy to find the one that I was able to go into. And of course, then I felt I faced the challenge of, well, nope, you can't go into being on an aircraft or a ship because you're a female. You can't do that job because you're a female. So I had some of those same struggles. And then getting out, the same thing. I mean, I was told, you know, you can go be an administrative assistant because mm-hmm. no one will understand what you did in the military. And like you, I mean, I had to put food on the table. So it is a struggle. So I'm so excited to hear about what you're doing. And you mentioned the hidden job market, and you're right that for every reason that you talked about, jobs aren't always advertised. So talk to us about 2 to 3 secrets about the hidden job market, and what should a transitioning service member do to navigate that job search?
Okay. Well, first of all, the first thing I would recommend is change your mindset. Instead of looking for a job and what people can do for you, think about how your skills will solve a problem. Because companies hire people to help them make money or save money or change a process to do one of those things, unless they're mission-oriented, like the military or school or a nonprofit. So then you want to show how your skills will help them with the mission. So instead of looking at it as, I need a job, how can you help me? We look at it as, how can our skills help you? There's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, it doesn't put people on the spot that they say, oh gosh, somebody's calling me. I don't want to talk to him because he wants something. I can't help him. He wants a job. Instead, you're saying, here are my skills. Where do you think I should put them, or who do you know that could react to these skills? So the skills we learn in the military may or may not transfer, but what people really want are the soft skills, people they can work with, people that show up on time. So when we're talking to someone about our military skills, hit on the characteristics that people really want. If you ask an employer who their best employee was, and why they were good, they'll tell you things like, he did his job. He came in on time. He didn't start drama. He did what he was supposed to do. He got the job done. He was reliable. We knew we could count on him. Those are the soft skills people will hire for. And coming from the military, we have a lot of those. We are really good at following orders. We are really good at doing what it takes to get the job done. When there's a war on, nobody says, well, I don't feel like getting up this morning. I'm not going to go to war. We do what it takes. Sell those skills because that will set you apart. People have to work with you 8 or 10 hours a day. Yes, they want someone who can do the job, but they don't hire the one with the most qualifications. They hire the ones they like the best.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I love that. I love you how you flip that around. And because I often tell veterans that too, to network with people, don't ask them to get you a job. Mm-hmm. Ask them how they can connect you, or how they see your skills fitting in places, and what their path would be for you. Because by building those relationships, they're willing to help you. But to your to what you said, you know, if they just think you just want them to get you a job, they're going to avoid your calls, and rightfully so.
Exactly. Absolutely. Now, another secret I would like to share with your listeners, when you're writing your resume, use lots of numbers. I recently read the average time a recruiter or an HR professional spends looking at an individual resume is 6 to 7 seconds. So numbers will attract the eye. And use accomplishments. What did you do? What are you most proud of? And what is it? Are you proud because you created a process that shortened the lead time of something? You know, it's hard when you're in the military because it's a bureaucracy. But think about what did you do? What was your role? How did you make an impact? And figure out how we can put numbers to it. Time. You can always use time. We save time. We created something that will translate. So you can say, here's how I can help your company make money, save money, or change a process that helps them solve a problem.
Absolutely. No, that's great advice. And figuring out how you can help them, it's really key, because you're right. And what you were saying earlier too, about companies need to know that they can rely on somebody, that no matter what they give you to do, they can trust that you're going to be there on time to get the job done. Because a lot of companies can teach a lot of the things, and every company does things a little bit differently. So they want to be able to teach you, and veterans certainly bring that learning agility. We're in training all the time, learning something or practicing something to be prepared. So it's great. That's awesome. So any other hidden secrets?
The other thing is, very few people in the civilian world have actually ever been in the military. So they have no idea what it means. It's kind of scary to them. All they think of are people leave, they go away, they're in uniforms, and they drive tanks and kill people. That's their thought. They see veterans holding a sign that says homeless vet, anything helps, and they don't have teeth and they have scraggly hair, and they're afraid. And they don't even know what to think when they hear of a woman veteran. They kind of, my experience has been, just stand there with their mouth open, that kind of shocked. I'm wearing makeup. So we have to put them at ease, because we don't know what they're thinking. If they think you're a homicidal maniac coming in, they're going to be afraid. Right. So, you know, when we talk about our military time, we may not mention tanks and we may not mention troops, but we may mention leading people, things like that. Those translate, but it's not so scary with whatever their preconceived notion may be for what a veteran is.
Yeah, and it's really kind of the intention and the concept that we built Veterans Ascend around, is helping to break those barriers of misunderstanding a title, misunderstanding a task that you were given in the military, and really just focusing on skills.
Exactly.
You're right. HR professionals have, you know, 6 to 7 seconds to look at a resume, look at a piece of paper. And we are, as humans, we will tend to avoid that which we do not understand. And HR is responsible for making decisions for a company, bringing people in to hire. It's a huge responsibility for them. So the less risk they have to take in recommending somebody gets interviewed, the better. So that network and those connections that veterans can make is awesome. So take us through Dare to Dream Bigger. Love that, and your mission and services, and give us an example of an awe moment that you helped someone achieve.
Thank you. Well, so Dare to Dream Bigger, I founded 2 years ago to help companies keep their people happy so they wouldn't have this turnover. And what I really found were people were coming to me saying, can you help me get a great job with a great company? Because there's so many great people out there, they didn't know how to find these great companies. And the companies have a disconnect. They're not able to find these great employees. Everybody is applying online, but there's a disconnect. They're not finding the right people. So my aha moment finally came when I was able to say, the real help I can offer are individuals who are looking for a position, especially with all the recent events. So teaching people how to approach this in a different way, rather than asking, I need something, they have discovered, wow, it really works. If you go in with your skills and your accomplishments, and you talk to people that have authority to hire, but may not actually have an opening, they will create positions if you have the right opportunity. It was the whole perspective that really changed things. Even if they had a resume that wasn't fantastic, if they could approach someone by showing them the value they bring, they would still get interviews and subsequently job offers.
So do you have an example of a specific that you can remember, one of your favorites that you, where you helped someone find their awe moment and what transpired?
Yes, there was a woman who came to me about a year ago, and she was in her 20s. She was working a job she didn't like, and she actually hated it. And she ended up getting fired multiple times because she stayed in the same industry. I asked her where her passion really was, and it had nothing to do with what she was doing, but what her dreams were. She didn't even know that she could go after him. She thought you had to be rich. She said, my ultimate dream is to own a yoga studio, but you have to be rich for that. Once she actually found out, well, who would know answers? Who would I talk to find out, do you really have to be rich for yoga? Just by asking her empowering questions, she figured out She hated her job in the food and beverage industry, and she actually changed it, went back, got training for physical fitness, has gotten certified in multiple areas, now has people paying her up to $60 an hour for private lessons.
Wow.
She went from waiting tables and hating it and getting fired to something she absolutely loves. She makes her own schedule and she gets paid up to $60 an hour for private lessons.
That is definitely an awe moment. Yes, mm-hmm. that is awesome. So
and she's happy.
Right? Exactly. And as we talk to veterans too, you know, when you find those moments where you've got a new purpose as a civilian, because in the military, you know, the purpose is bigger than your life and bigger than you. Mm-hmm. When you get out and you're trying to find that in the civilian workplace, it's very difficult sometimes. But once you do find that and you identify that, you can be so much happier. And then that trickles down to, you know, you're contributing to society better. You're volunteering mm-hmm. to help others. Your family life is better. And just, it really has a very big domino effect on the community. So that's awesome. So tell mm-hmm. us about your services. I know you've got an offer for the audience. So tell us about your services that you can provide.
Well, I help companies identify, attract, and bring on board top talent. But I would like to say, because of what's going on right now, I am helping a lot of individuals make changes mm-hmm. in their life to find what they want. I'm putting a course online, 7 Steps to Find the Career You Love. I am going to make a special pricing. It's going to be a little bit lower for veterans. That'll be out in the next couple of weeks. So if anyone's who's interested in that, they can send me an email and I'll send them more information. I do have a freebie. It's the tips to reach someone. So if you know you're interested in ABC company, but you're not sure who to speak to, you're not sure how to reach them because you get just a main phone number, these tips will help you figure out different ways to find the person that's in charge and that can actually have power to interview you and potentially offer you a job.
That's wonderful. So how do the listeners get to that free tips?
Send an email to pam@daretodreambigger.com. And the 2 is a number. So pam@daretodreambigger.com.
All right. So let's kind of flip it around. You mentioned that you do help companies as well. So talk to us about your advice for companies who intentionally want to hire veterans and how do they retain them?
That is a great question. If you want to retain a veteran, show that veteran a career path. When people get out of the military, they want to be productive. They want to do something important. Show them that there is a place to grow so they'll want to stay. And provide them with leadership. Most veterans complain to me and they have to leave a company because there's no leadership.
Yeah.
There may be a goal, but there's no way to get there. So they leave. So if you want to keep your veterans, provide leadership, have a plan, give them some structure, and let them grow with your company. They are great employees.
That's great advice. And quite honestly, I know we focus on veterans, but quite honestly, that's great advice for any of your employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, people want to know how they can grow, how they're contributing, and they want good leadership. It really is. That's awesome. All right. Well, Pam, thank you so much for your service. Again, go Navy. Thank you for sharing your perspectives on the job market and those hidden perspectives as well. And those awe moments. Great stuff. We appreciate you sharing these great insights today. And listeners, for more information on Dare to Dream Bigger, please visit their website at www.daretodreambigger.com. And again, the 2 is the number 2, daretodreambigger.com. And for more information on Veterans Ascend or to sign up today, please visit our website at www.veteransascend.com. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Be well.